From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kearns with you once again to Let the Bible Speak. This week we continue with our brief series of studies, Themes in Titus. And today we continue looking at chapter 1, verse 2 of Titus, on the subject of the hope of eternal life. First, however, we commence with our daily devotional Bible study and our thought for the day. Today, our daily devotional is on the subject unsinkable saints. The text is, Underneath are the Everlasting Arms. When the great liner Titanic set sail in her maiden voyage, her makers hailed her as unsinkable. How wrong they were. Today she lies at the bottom of the ocean, a tragic reminder that the best efforts of man are frail and feeble. The only vessel that cannot sink is the vessel that is held afloat by the gracious power of God. The same is true of those human vessels that are launched from birth on the storm-tossed ocean of life. Their desired destination is the port of heaven, but millions never arrive. As we sail on, we see all around us the wreckages of countless vessels. Some, like the Titanic, sailed boldly forth, confident in their own unsinkability. Their confidence was only misplaced brashness that led them to shipwreck. But among all those shipwrecks, there is not one true believer in Christ. Saints are unsinkable, for undergirding every one of them are the arms of the eternal God. Our frail bark cannot break asunder, even in the most terrible tempests of life. Perhaps you feel threatened today. You feel a storm is brewing. You fear that some great wave of trouble will overflow your soul. Then grasp this truth. God's saints are unsinkable. True, we may have to battle wind and rain and tide. We may ship some water. Our faith will be put to the test. But we will not sink. We will make it safely to our destination, for the everlasting arms undergird our vessel. Let us then sail on with confidence. Let us navigate by the chart and compass of Scripture, even when they lead us into heavy weather. Nothing can break our souls unless it first break our God. The most furious storm can only drive us into the security of His everlasting arms. And our thought for the day is from Robert Trail. Never did a believer in Jesus die or drown in his voyage to heaven.
Thank you.
Here at Let the Bible Speak, we try to make available to you some resources that we hope will better equip you to stand for the Lord and serve Him. Many of you are well aware of the materials that we try to keep constantly available. At times, however, there are special offers that we think you should hear about, and I want to make a very important resource available to you today. Recently, the World Council of Churches, that is a body that exists to promote one world church. It's a very apostate body, but it operates under the name of Christianity. It held its 7-yearly meeting in Brazil, and the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, a Bible-believing association of separated churches, the General Secretary of the American Council of Christian Churches, Dr. Ralph Colas, was in Brazil to report on the World Council of Churches meeting. His report makes startling reading as he lifts the veil from the utter apostasy of the ecumenical movement. We would like you to receive Dr. Colas's report. And so we ask you to write, call, or email and let us know that you'd like to have it, and we'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. We look forward to hearing from you. We look forward to sending you Dr. Colas's expose of the apostasy of the World Council of Churches. yesterday's broadcast, we commenced our study of the subject, the hope of eternal life, and established the essence of the believer's hope. Our hope is not mere wishful thinking, or what the world means by hope, as if it were an uncertain thing. No, our hope is the assurance that the Lord Jesus Christ gives that he has redeemed us by his blood and will certainly fulfill his promises to us. Having laid that foundation, we can now move on to the second great idea in Titus 1 verse 2, the hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Now the expectation of that hope. We're told it is the hope of eternal life. Now again, we have got to emphasize what Paul means versus what we would normally take out of that. To most people, the idea of the hope of eternal life is, I hope I'm going to gain eternal life. I hope that when the judgment day comes, I'm going to be accepted. I'm going to pass the test. In the crude imagery that is so often used by the ungodly, and sadly too often by the people who ought to know better, there's Peter standing at the golden gate, and I'm hoping he's going to let me in. How it ever got about that Peter stands at the golden gate, I have no idea. That is just a very crude form of Roman idolatry, imagining him to be some sort of a pope in heaven. Let me tell you, the hope of eternal life is not the hope that you're going to gain eternal life. If you're saved, you have eternal life. Right now you have eternal life. The words of the Baptist, John the Baptist, in John 3:36 should never be forgotten. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. He that believeth on the Son hath, here and now, he possesses eternal life. We're not hoping that we're going to gain eternal life. If you are waiting to the judgment day to find out if you have eternal life, you're waiting too late. If you're going through this life without God, without Christ, without repentance, without regeneration, without redemption, without the application of the blood of the Lamb, if by faith you have not been justified, then, my friend, it's too late to wait for the judgment day, hoping that you'll gain eternal life. What chance is there of gaining eternal life if you've rejected God's Christ? On what ground would God ever accept you if you have not received his only provided Savior, even his Son? So this is not hoping we're going to gain eternal life. This hope of eternal life rather speaks of all that that term eternal life signifies for the future. And let me list some of the things that are involved in it. I will not preach too long on them because, again, as I said about the text this morning, every one of these things is a major issue in itself. But the hope of eternal life is the expectation that we will enjoy, as God has promised, everything signified by eternal life. And one thing that we start with is deliverance from the fear of death. Deliverance from the fear of death. In Hebrews chapter 2, we are told that the Lord Jesus Christ came, and we're given a great verse about his incarnation. He took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. I think the idea is he never laid hold of angels. And I've mentioned this many a time because to me it is an amazing thing. It shows the sovereignty of God on one hand. It shows the mercy of God on another. He never laid hold of angels. Angels sinned. And they're shut up to eternal damnation because of their sin. They're held, as it were, in the chains of an unbreakable purpose of God, a decree for their everlasting punishment because of their sin.
There were angels that sinned, and God never stirred a finger to save a fallen angel. The Lord Jesus Christ led not hold of angels, but he led hold of the seed of Abraham. Do you ever hear people ask, well, there's a spiritual way in this which this question can be asked, but it's usually asked in the dumbest possible way. I wonder what God saw in me to save me. Well, you know, all he saw was a vile and filthy and guilty and hell-deserving sinner. I can ask that question in the sense of just wonderment, seeing nothing but a mass of corruption. Why would God save us? A thing like you or me, why would he do it? He didn't save us because of what we could do for him. Though when he saves us, he gives us the desire to do all we can for the glory of his name, for that's the reason for our existence. If God had been intent on saving beings who could work the hardest and do the most and exercise the greatest power, surely he would have laid hold of angels. But he didn't. He laid hold of the seed of Abraham. And here's his purpose. That through death, coming into the world and laying hold of the seed of Abraham, by himself becoming a man, the Son of God, through death, destroyed him that had the power, the dread of death that he places in the hearts of men and women. Him that had the power of death, that is the devil. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now part of the hope of eternal life, part of the confident expectation of all that God has for his people throughout the countless ages of eternity, deals with that dread and that fear of death. Many people misunderstand that text and they say, well, if I have any fear of dying, then I mustn't be delivered. That's not what it says. He delivers them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I believe you'll see this again and again as Christians come to die, that even the most fearful, the most timid, the weakest in body, they get the grace that is needful when the Lord himself draws near. But even now they're delivered. He gives them with such a confident expectation of glory. He gives them the deliverance even now. You remember what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15. When he has this great, what's called an apostrophe, he apostrophizes death. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You know, sometimes those words are quoted and the devil must be laughing. I have stood at the grave of a drunkard who died in the act of his drunkenness and heard a minister quote those words, and the devil must have been laughing all the way to the caverns of the damned. Oh, there was plenty of sting in death. But when we're dealing with a blood-washed believer, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Christ has died. And never let us forget, Christ has risen again. That's the keynote of the gospel. I don't for a moment want to downplay the righteous life of Christ in obedience to the law. Nor do I want to downplay the atoning death and bloodshedding of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I tell you, it is a perversion of the gospel that has taken over evangelicalism, that is constantly talking about the death of Christ and practically never about the resurrection of Christ. He rose again. He is the Prince of Life. He hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And because of that, we are delivered from the fear of death. We now know, as the psalmist tells us in Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. We know, as John records in Revelation 14, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. That, my friend, is the hope of eternal life, at least one aspect of it. You look at a Christian and you see his corpse lying in a coffin. It looks like any other corpse, but that soul is with Christ. That soul is rejoicing. That soul is in blessing. That soul is in happiness. That soul is in the ultimate bliss. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. And that hope gives us deliverance from the fear of death. The hope of eternal life is the confidence of being with Christ after death. Paul said, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, and this is something that we know, this is something that we're assured of, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To see the King in His beauty, to behold Him face to face. We have often sung it, face to face shall I behold Him far beyond the starry sky. What a day that will be, my friend. That is the confidence that we have in the hope of eternal life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at LetTheBibleSpeakRadio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying, thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.